together again. Pastor Greg has found a way to leave in the middle of February or the end of February and be in Florida somehow right now. Man, I wish my mom lived in Florida. But no, he's visiting his mother in Florida with Tina and with Alyssa. Brandon's here representing for the Kemper family. Brandon, just wave to everybody there. There's brother Brandon Kemper. But once again, you're with me, and this happens sometimes when I go from singing to like talking like this. My voice gets a little crazy because there's a changeover, and usually I have time to like cough and do. But I'm going to do that in front of you this morning, so I apologize for that. But what I want to look at this morning, you know, I was considering, what should we look at while we're together? Pastor Greg is going to begin a new series in Acts. Of course, he's finished up a couple of things in the last couple of months, and he's going to be starting something new. So he said, just take Sunday morning. What do you feel God's put on your heart? And I was just considering and praying, what should we talk about and look at this morning? And I said, you know, I asked myself a few questions. I said, what is this life all about? This way, this Christian way that we talk about, this walk of faith that we have. What is it all about? What is it that God wants from us? So I put these questions to you this morning. What is this life about? What is it that God wants from us? What is this Christian walk about? What is this way, this walk of faith about? You know, it's easy to get distracted we want to dismiss all the kids right now. It's easy to get distracted with stuff and forget to dismiss the kids, so we want to dismiss the kids right now. I see all these hands waving in the back, like this. It's easy to become distracted with stuff, with jobs. I think a lot of people have been distracted in the past couple years with finances, with the recession, with negative things, distracted with world events and turmoil and all these things. There it is. There it is. Excuse me. Jesus talked about these things and warned us about these things, but we weren't supposed to become distracted with the stuff of earth, with the stuff of life. So what is it all about? Why did God create? Why did he make this garden? Scripture says that. We're going to look at it in a minute. He created this place. It says God planted these things. Before there was any seed-bearing plant, he planted them. Why did Jesus come? Why is he coming back? Why is God's name Elkanah? We looked at that in the Truth Project, right? Elkanah, the jealous one. Why would he call himself that? I think it boils down to this. God wants to be with you. God wants you to be with him. There's this concept, it's called tabernacle. It's called tabernacle. One, which I can't get out of my head. I told you that last time I was up here. I can't get the Gospel of John chapter 1 out of my head. In verse 14 it says, the Word became flesh and did tabernacle amongst us. That's how it's literally translated. This Greek word, skenao, to fix, to prepare one's tabernacle, to abide, to dwell in. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. In the Hebrew, it's a word shakan, which means to reside or permanently stay, to abide, continue, to remain. In Genesis 26, God says to Abraham, live in the land which I shall tell you, and tabernacle in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. God wants to be with you. God wants to tabernacle with you. Now, my Bible teacher, Dr. Carl Koch, says we should pay attention to the verbs in the Bible. And this word tabernacle, when we hear that word, we think of a noun. We think of a place. We think of a meeting place or a building or a temple. But this word actually is a verb, to tabernacle. The word became flesh and dwelt and tabernacled amongst us. So when we say tabernacle this morning, that's what we're talking about, a verb. It's something that we do. It's an interaction that we have with God. It's not a place that we gather. In the Hebrew, that word mishkan is the temple, the tabernacle. But we're talking about the verb shakan, shakan. God wants to tabernacle with you. Tabernacle is an amazing thing. Pastor Greg talked a little bit about it last week when he was sharing about his experiences with Israel. He said it this way, our primary purpose is to be lovers of God. Remember he talked about that, Israel, and I'll be with you and bless you, and God put it that way deliberately, that this being with God, this tabernacling with God, this interaction with God is what's primary, and then the blessing of God is secondary. Salvation is secondary. All the stuff and the benefits, the grace, the help, the strength we need, all those things, God's provision is secondary, and that's all predicated upon this thing, that he wants to be with us. And whenever God tabernacles with man, there are fireworks. Every time. Look at it. From Genesis to Revelation, you'll see it. Abraham tabernacles with God and a nation is born. Jacob tabernacles with God and receives a new name and a blessing. The word of God, Jesus, tabernacles with man and the promised salvation comes. This tabernacle is no joke. At the consummation of all things, God tabernacles with mankind and all wrongs are righted, and God reconciles all things so perfectly that every knee shall bow, not out of compulsion, but out of agreement that it was all worth every bit of it. That he is who he says he is, and it was all worth this concept of God tabernacling with people. My friends, it's not the hokey pokey. Tabernacle is what it's all about. From Genesis to Revelation, we're going to look at three things this morning. We want to look at the beginning in Genesis. We want to look at the incarnation very quickly. And I do this, feel like I'm starting to be like sound like a broken record. Every time I come up here, I'm talking about the incarnation. But we want to look at Genesis. We want to look at Christ tabernacling with us. And we want to look at God tabernacling with us at the end of all things. You know, we did this series recently or last time around with the small groups, when God's people pray, right? I almost think that it's a misnomer, because we get this notion of prayer being this thing that we do, that somehow we say these magic words and like something magic happens. Or we pray for something and we get an answer we want to hear sometimes, and sometimes we don't. But rather than when God's people pray, I think it would be more accurate to say when people tabernacle with God, because that's what's at stake. Prayer isn't this thing that we're supposed to do. It's just a means or a vehicle through which we can be with God. It's a means of communicating, of relating to and interacting with the Father. Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we want to look again at tabernacle in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, we're going to look at a few verses there. It might be a little hard to follow. I didn't have time to get together a PowerPoint this morning, but just bear with me. We're going to look at Genesis 1:26, good time to turn off all the cell phones for those of you who might have them on, put them on vibrate. Genesis 1:26-29, and then a few verses in Genesis chapter 2. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." God provides this place. God sets it up. He creates it. Proposed to you for this purpose. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Verse 7, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east. It's kind of cool. Lord was a gardener. He planted a garden in Eden, and there he put the man he'd formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow up to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In verse 15, then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. In the beginning, God creates mankind. He creates this place for man. He prepares a place and provides everything that he needs. And then God invites man to partner with him. He says, I've created this whole thing. I've provided everything that you need so that you can be here, have everything you need. You can be a partner with me. He put the man in it to take care of it. And it all comes down to that. He essentially proposes to Adam, let's do this together. Let's shakan. I'll create and provide for and prepare for you, and you can be with me and share in the benefits of my creation. God's original design is to be together, to tabernacle with man. Now we know the story, right? We know that man tabernacles with God for a little while. We know in Genesis 3:8 it says that Adam and Eve heard God walking in the cool of the garden. Imagine this. Imagine this. They're dwelling with him, abiding with him. He prepared the place. They have everything they need. Here's God with me. God wants to be with us, right? But Adam and Eve are afraid and hide themselves. You see, the problem with sin is this thing of shame, this thing of fear of intimacy. Because I've broken this shakan, this tabernacling. I've broken it. So Adam and Eve walk away in disobedience, as we know, and they break shakan. They break this fellowship with God. But God has a solution. Somebody say, but God. He doesn't leave us there in broken fellowship with broken shakan, separated from him. Why? Because he wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him. So it says in Genesis 3:21, it says, the Lord made garments of skin for Adam and Eve and clothed them. So they break this fellowship with God. Shakan is so important to God that he finds a way to fix it. He finds a way to redeem it, even though we've walked away and we stopped tabernacling with him. In an effort to restore tabernacle, he says, this thing, this fellowship with you is so important. It's even more important than your disobedience. It's even more important than your sin. So I'm going to make a way to overcome your sin and your disobedience so that we can be together. I'm going to cover your shame. You're ashamed. Now, I'm going to myself make skins. God made skins. How do you make skins? Well, I guess he could supernaturally generate skins out of nothing, right? We know he's pretty good at that. Or more likely, he took an animal and he prepared a covering. There was a blood sacrifice to cover their sin. Why? Because God wants to be with us. Because God wants to tabernacle with them. And it was so important that it was greater than even their sin or disobedience. God provides for us to be with him, then redeems tabernacle even when we destroy it. That's why Abraham says to Isaac, God himself will prepare, will provide a sacrifice. God himself. Why? Because God wants to be with us. Someone who understood this, David. King David's called what? A man after God's own heart. That's right. We're going to look at a psalm he wrote in Psalm chapter 27. David understood this concept that God wanted to be with him. And David, in turn, wanted to be with God. He says in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me, uttering slanders against me, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Tabernacle. "To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He'll conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies round about me. I'll offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me. Answer me. You said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, your face, O Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Though father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe." Somebody say, I believe.
I believe.
"I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. There's a different perspective that comes from living life out of tabernacling with God. There's a different perspective. Things look different from there. David says, in the day of trouble, he'll keep me safe. Now, think to the last time you were in trouble. Some of us, it'll take a while because I know you haven't been in trouble for a long time. The last time you were in trouble, is that what you said? I'm in trouble. He's going to keep me safe. He'll keep me safe in the day of trouble. David says, my enemies will stumble and fall. Do you say my enemies will stumble and fall, or do you say, oh no, they're coming for me? There's a different perspective that comes from the tabernacle. David says, the Lord will receive me. Do you say the Lord will receive me, or do you want to hide like Adam and Eve? Maybe shame keeps you from wanting to embrace God's reception. He wants to be with you. And he's going to provide for anything that you would think could separate you from him. He wants to be with you. David says, I'll remain confident and wait for the Lord. Tabernacle changes everything. You know the story with David, though, right? Even the great King David fell. David's tabernacle, it says in the book of Amos, remember Eagle's Wings was here, and he said he would, God said he would restore the fallen tabernacle, David's fallen tabernacle, physically and spiritually and symbolically and actually. See, David's tabernacle fell, but God had a plan. God had a plan. He's a redeemer, right? And he wants to be with David. And his desire to tabernacle with David is so important, he was going to cover over David's sin. So God says in Amos 9:11, he's going to restore this fallen tabernacle. Why is he going to restore a fallen tabernacle? So that there'll be a building? Is that what God's about, buildings? No, he's going to restore the tabernacle because he wants to be with you, because he wants to be with us, just so that, you know, his word will be true? No, his word will be true, but it's not for that reason. It's for this reason. Tabernacle. Tabernacle with you. It's yet another example of the Redeemer wanting to tabernacle with his people. And God's next effort and purpose in acquiring and achieving and establishing this tabernacle came in the form of his word, the word of God to man, Christ. that came. We said in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and did tabernacle among us. You know, this Greek word skenao, to tabernacle, it's mentioned four times in the New Testament. It's mentioned three times in the book of Revelation, and only one other place it's mentioned here. The Word became flesh and did tabernacle amongst us. And Jesus invites us to come and see, right? To come and see, to spend time with Him. He says to Nicodemus in John 3, the Son came not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Saved for what? Saved why? Just so your skin is saved and you don't burn or something? Saved to what end? To what purpose? To be with Him. He loves you that much. He loves me that much. And in John 17, though, He says, neither for these only, His disciples He's praying, neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on Me through their word, that they may all be one, even as You, Father, are in Me, and I'm in You, that they may also be in Us, I in them, You in Me, that they may be perfected into one, that the love with which You have loved Me may be in them, and I in them. He wants you with Him. Tabernacle. He says to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, He says that He came to seek and save that which was lost. Well, what was lost? Tabernacle. We lose sight of it all the time. He wants to restore that relationship and that fellowship that He has with us. You know, we talked about the Truth Project, one of these studies, for those of you who don't know, that we did with our small groups a couple years ago. And one of the things that this brought out was that Jesus said the reason that He came was to testify to the truth, which is an amazing concept. Okay, then it begs the question, what's that truth? You know, and Pilate says to Him, what is truth? The truth is that God is love. The truth is that God loves you and wants to be with you. That's the truth. And that's the truth that Christ came to testify about. I came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. And then He prays that we would be one. You see, this skaneo isn't just for me and God. It's for me and you. And God. We get to say to others, like Philip said to Nathaniel, you come and see. We get to invite others to be a part of this. Jesus says in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, and I will be with you. So as we tabernacle with Him, then we go and we invite others to tabernacle with us and God. Come and see. It's not just me. Well, I'm saved. This is great. I can be with God and just have this experience. No, we're called to invite others into this fellowship of believers. Too many times, though, as believers, instead of pointing people to God and inviting them into this fellowship, we turn that finger instead of pointing to God. We point it. People. And we point at each other, and we want to tell people why they're wrong and why they're bad and why God doesn't want to be in fellowship with them. People, as believers, instead of pointing at people, we're supposed to be pointing to God. We're supposed to take those fingers and that attention and give it to God and invite other people to be part of this fellowship. Why? Because God loves you and wants to be with you. We should tell them of the God of love who wants to tabernacle with them. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should turn, should come to repentance and embrace Him. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a very familiar passage. 2 Corinthians 5. chapter 5, verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though once we regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him that way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All this is from God, who, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us this message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. We're supposed to point to God. We're supposed to invite people into this fellowship, not point fingers at people in this fellowship. Are you with me? Skenao is for me and you and God. Christ says in Acts 1, he's sending his comforter, the Holy Spirit, to empower his people to be witnesses. To be witnesses. You know, in and of ourselves, it might not be our first reaction to invite people into this fellowship. But God says, Jesus says to the disciples, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit and you'll be my witnesses. God wants us to have the power to be a witness. I want to read you a story from Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas have been inviting others into this fellowship, and actually get thrown into jail for doing that. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas are in jail. But about midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God. I know that's what I would do if I were in jail. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's fetters were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your whole household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. When we tabernacle with God, people are watching. Notice that? Even though Paul and Silas are in jail, they didn't let it separate this shakan that they had with God, this tabernacling with God. They understood it. They got it. So they do what people who are fellowshipping and tabernacling with the God of the universe do. They gave thanks and praise to him in the middle of a circumstance that might challenge a lot of us. And the prisoners were listening. And then it says, the foundations of the prison were shaken. Would you like to see the foundations of the prison shaken? Are there prisoners who you would like to see set free? It says all the prison doors flew open. All the doors. It says everyone's chains fell off. Would you like to see everyone's chains fall off? When people witness tabernacle, they ask, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I be a part of this?" Jesus said, "I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to you and empower you to be witnesses." I'm telling you, one of the greatest witnesses we can have is for people to just see us tabernacle with God. Paul and Silas weren't preaching a sermon. They weren't pointing to people. They weren't telling them what they had to do. They just simply tabernacle with God, and what happened? Remember we said, whenever people tabernacle with God, things happen. Fireworks happen. It's a spiritual flashpoint, Pastor Greg, last week. What must I do to be saved? Jesus says, "My lost sheep, I'm seeking you. I love you. Come home." These are the words of the shepherd. Maybe we've lost sight of Tabernacle. Like we said at the beginning, it's easy to be distracted with jobs, with stuff, with money, with problems. Maybe we've lost sight of it. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the noun, the tabernacle, where God dwells. You have him with you. Paul and Silas understood it. Because he has made us to be his place to tabernacle. So what does it look like? What does it look like for me to tabernacle? Well, for Adam and Eve, it was walking with God in the cool of the garden. For Abraham, it was believing God and taking a journey. For Jacob, it was grappling with the angel of the Lord. For Paul, it was praying and singing in prison. Will you pray and sing in prison, or will you gripe and moan in Long Island? I'm asking all of us this question. You know, for us, if the air doesn't smell just right, we call a meeting and want to, like, have a whole big thing, right? Some of you point lookouters know what I'm talking about, right? We want to call a meeting. We want to get it straightened out, man. It's this, I can't believe this foul stench my nostrils have to endure. Paul and Silas are in jail. They're singing and praising. People see tabernacle, chains fall off. See that progression? They're singing and praising, tabernacling with God. The others are listening, chains fall off. Lord, let us be a people who in the midst of challenge choose to sing from the place of tabernacle rather than complain about the problems. Father, help us to be people who respond to your desire to be with us, and we just embrace you and live life from a place of being with you. Help us. And at the end of all things, God is still about tabernacle. Jesus says in Revelation 3, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and dine with him." I'll come in and dine with him. Let me read you another little story as we close from Revelation chapter 21. The first few verses. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling of He will tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore. For the former things have passed away.' And he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" At the consummation of all things, God himself tabernacles with mankind. All wrongs are righted, and God reconciles all things so perfectly that every knee shall bow, not out of compulsion, but out of agreement that the reality of God physically tabernacling with men is worth every bit of challenge, every bit of pain, every bit of struggle, every problem you've ever had. It's worth the suffering, it's worth the trial, it's worth the temptation. It's worth every struggle we've had to face. Tabernacle is that important. Why did God create? Why did Jesus come? Why is he coming back? God wants to be with you. He wants you to be with him. And he calls us to invite others to be part of that. Don't be ashamed. He's made a way. Self will cover you. Will clothe you. Since he's given us a robe of righteousness, instead of shame and guilt, don't run and hide. Tabernacle with God. Scripture says perfect love casts out all fear. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be something you're not. Just have to respond to God. Will you tabernacle with him? Will you invite others to be a part of that fellowship? This is what it's about. That's what all this is about. This is why we come here on Sundays. This is why we pray on Tuesdays and hopefully a lot more. This is why we have all these songs and receive an offering and do all this. If we're doing anything else, it's a waste of time. This is what matters. We lose sight of it. Let's pray.